We are reading from the Study of the Ten Sfirot, Part 4. You can find where we're reading at the AVOHR that does not leave, becomes a Kli. You can ask questions at kab.tv and find the reading material at kablamedia.info. The coarse light that does not leave becomes a Kli, a vessel, and the Rishimot remain in it. Item 10. The work of the Kelim has not been completed in this world of the Akudim at that time, but the Prinot and the reality that they were made of, being coarse light connected with pure light, had already been there. When the pure light, when the pure light, the Or Zach, returned upward, the Or Av, the coarse light, had been left below. And this is the Prina of the Kelim themselves. There, in that coarse light, which is Prinat Kelim, the pure lights left the above two Prinot. One, Or Yeshar Yeshimo, two, Or Chuzel. Again, item 10. The coarse light that does not leave becomes a Kli, and the Rishimot remain in it. The work of the Kelim has not been completed in this world of the Akudim at that time, but the Prinot and the reality that they were made of, being coarse light, Or Av, connected with pure light, Or Zach, that had already been there. When the pure light returned upward, the coarse light had been left below, and this is the Prina of the Kelim themselves. There, in that coarse light, which is Prinat Kelim, the pure lights in a Zachorot left the above two Prinot, one, Or Yashar Rishimo, and two, Or Chuzel. Item 10, Opnimi, clarifying the coarse light connected with the pure light. When the light expands from Malchut to Forosh down to the Guf, that light consists of Or Yashar and Or Chuzel. It is as though they clothe one another in the Rosh. This is Or Yashar. This Or Yashar is called Or Zach, a pure light, and Or Chuzel is called Or Av, the coarse light, as it extends by the force of the Av Yud and the Tzimtzum in the Masach on Malchut of Rosh. There is no discernment of Av Yud, of coarseness, up in Rosh, as it rises and clothes the upper nine from the Masach upward. And the force of the coarseness cannot operate above the place of its manifestation and existence even a bit. However, afterwards, this Or Chuzel expands and descends once more with its Or Yashar from Malchut of Rosh downward. Then the coarseness in the Masach is certainly in it, though it is not at all regarded as a drawback, for its entire merit is connected with the coarseness, as there wouldn't have been any light in the Paltzuf without it. Indeed, when the light finally leaves the Paltzuf and the Aviyut, the coarseness is emptied of that Or Yashar that is clothed in it, then the full ignobility and demerit of that Aviyut, that coarseness, compared to the Or Yashar, appears. The Ari writes, had been left below. It means that after the pure light had been emptied of the coarse light, meaning once the Or Yashar had left and been pulled out of the Or Chuzel that clothed it, the coarse light remained below. In other words, the demerit of the Or Chuzel compared to the Or Yashar surfaced. That is why it is said that after the return of the Or Zach, the pure light, upwards, The O'av, the coarse light that remained below, is the prina of the kilim themselves. In other words, this O chozel that had been emptied of all yashal after its first hitpachtut, its expansion, is the entire substance of the kilim in that paltuf, called expansion Aleph of Ak, or it's called Patsuf Galgalta of Ak. The Rishimon, the Nitzotzim, the sparks of the descending O Chozel clothed inside it. We shall now see that these Rishima and the Nitzotzim, the sparks of O Chozel, became and were corrected as the Kilim of the following Patsuf, called the second expansion, or Ab.
Okay. Well, if you keep silent, then we'll just continue.
Item 20, clarifying the coarse light that is Prinat Kelim. Item 20, meaning the O Chozel that remains after the departure of the O Yashal from inside it. We have yet to thoroughly understand the above matter of the ascent of the lights, and know precisely what arose, what purified, and what remained below as kilim. You already know that the masach means a detaining force over the upper light, so that it does not expand into the four prinot of the coarseness in prinat dalet called malchut. The matter of the ascent of Malchut Ziranpin in the Ari's words, as follows, mean that you should know that they revolve only around the Masach and O Chozel in her. These two are called O Malchut, the light of Malchut. They are called light in the Ari's words, as there is no other light in Malchut from the Tzimtzum onwards. However, Kli Malchut herself cannot rise to Ziranpin, since ascent means Hizdakhut, a purification, and that can only be done in the Masach, but not in the Kelim. This matter of the Hizdakhut, the purification, is not operative in the Kelim whatsoever. Only that amount of aviyut, that coarseness, exists in the prina of the kilim in each and every paltzuf, as it remains permanent and fixed forever until they receive their correction. This has already been explained. The matter of the ekstakhut, the purification of the masach from prina dalet to prina gimel, means that because of the bitush of o pnimi with o mekif in a masach, the last prina of the aviyut, the coarseness that is contained in it, force of detainment, disappeared and was lost. From now on, it is found to be detaining the upper light from expanding further then prina gimel of the coarseness, which remains in it. It is so because prina dalet and prina dalet is no longer contained in it, so it only detains and returns the upper light from the three prinot aviyut that remained incorporated in it from prina dalet. The returned Ol Chozer from these three prinot is only sufficient to clothe the Ol Yashal up to Chochmah, and its clothing does not reach Ketel. It therefore naturally turns out that Ol Ketel disappears from the Paltzuf because the light is not caught in the Paltzuf without Levush and a Kli, as it's been clarified in Istaklut Pnimit. It has been thoroughly explained that the ascent and the Istikhut, the purification, relate to the Masach and not at all to the Kilim. The Kilim that remain in their location after the Istalkut, the departure of the light, the direct light, are the four prinot of Yud contained in that O Chozel that has been clothed. They clothe the ten sfirot of Guf, which have now been emptied of their lights.
שאלות.
Any questions? Well,
what is he right here? That the matter of purification is the masach and has nothing to do with the kelim, and the kelim that remain in their place after the istalkut of Or Yeshal, that is called Or Av by the Ari, are the four prinot of Yud contained in the Or Chozer that has been clothed, and they clothe the ten sfirot of Guf which have now been emptied of their lights. So what are the kelim here? What are the vessels here? What are the vessels that remained in their location?
I'm going to repeat that part. It has been thoroughly explained that the ascent and the histakichut, purification, when the masach purifies and it goes up from tabu to pe, relate to the masach and to nothing other than the masach, and not at all to the kelim. Rather, the force of resistance is what purifies, is what grows weaker. The kelim that remain in their location after the histalkut, the departure of the Or Yashar, is called by the Ari Or Ha'av, the coarse light. These are the four pinot of coarseness contained in that Or Chozer that has been clothed. Meaning, in this Or Chozer, returning light, there was Or Yashar, direct light, and the coarse light is, as you see here, as it said, they remained in their location after the departure of the Or Yashar, which the Ari calls coarse light. These are the four pchinot of Oviyut, coarseness contained in that Or Chozer that has been clothed. They clothe the ten sfirot of the Guf, which have now been emptied of their lights. So what are you asking?
What is he calling the kelim that remain in their location?
The kelim that remained in their place are those reshimot. Those same reshimot.
What does it mean, the four prinot, the coarse light that remain in their location, or the kelim that remain in location, or the coarse light that Or Chozer?
A kli is called a coarse light. Why can a kli be light, even if it is coarse? Because the will to receive is not called a kli, a vessel. Kli is called the will to receive, upon which the light appears, and it awakens it to want to receive it. And then it starts to come closer to being a kli, a vessel. The light influences it more, and it lets it understand that it is forbidden to receive in order to receive, but only in order to bestow. So those lights that were operating on the desire, they become a kli. Therefore, the coarse light is the kli.
So what's the difference between the coarseness of the desire and what's left here that calls kelim? The kelim are the reshimot that remain after the purification?
Yes. Well, let's continue.
Chapter 3 explains four kinds of light: ta'amim, nekudot, tagin, otiyot. Those are 1. The first expansion from pe to tabu, namely ta'amim. 2. The levels that emerge during the istalkut, the departure, are called nekudot. The reshimot are called tagin. 4. The light that is born by the haka'ah, the striking of the reshimot and the descending Or Chozer on one another, is otiyot. Item 1. When Yesod rises, it leaves a reshima in its place to illuminate the malchut. We shall start to explain them from Yesod, which is the last one to leave a reshima. It is said that during its ascent from Yesod to the place of Hod and upward, it leaves a reshima from Malchut in the place where Yesod was. The reshima never leaves there, even when Malchut returns and rises to the emanator. All the other sfirot do the same, excluding Malchut. Again, when Yesod arises, it leaves a Reshima in its place to illuminate the Malchut. We shall start to explain them from Yesod, which is the last one to leave a Reshima. It is said that during its ascent from Yesod to the place of Hod and upward, it leaves a Reshima from Malchut in the place where Yesod was. That Reshima never leaves there, even when Malchut returns and rises to the Matzil, the Emanator. All the other Sfirot do the same, excluding Malchut.
So, we have item 1 down below.
Opening me, clarifying Reshima where they had their Yesod. It has already been explained that Malchut of Hakudim is called Tabu, and her emanator, Ma'atzil, being Malchut of Rosh, is called Peh. When a Masach in Malchut of Guf purified from all the coarseness contained in it and remained pure in complete equivalence with Malchut of Rosh, which is his emanator, Ma'atzil, it is considered that Malchut returned upward to the emanator. Repeating, it is considered that Malchut returned upward to the emanator, Ma'atzil. It is so because when they are both of equal merit, they are cohesive and incorporated in one another like a single p'china. It is known that Shinui Tzura, the disparity of form, is the measure of the separation and difference in the spirituals. And Ishtavut Tzura, the equivalence of form, is the Dvikut, the adhesion and the unification in the spirituals. Thus, when Malchut of Guf and Malchut of Rosh are equal in their merit, they are regarded as adhesive with one another and incorporated into a single p'china. It is said that Reshima never leaves there, even when Malchut returns and rises to the emanator. By that he feels that even when the Masach had been purified of all its coarseness, until it remains of equal purity with the Creator, with the Emanator, still the Masach is incorporated with the Reshimot in the 10 Sfirot of Guf. Only Prinat Dalet is excluded, as the last Prinat does not leave a Reshimot, because these Reshimot are of Or Yashar, and the last Prinat does not receive Or Yashar inside her, as there is only Or Chozer in her. Know that the matter of these Reshimot that remained contained in Malchut, even when it is contained in the Emanator, they are the nucleus for the creation of a second Partzuf. It is so because all the lights and the Kelim extend to the second Partzuf from these Reshimot, as written above. It is so because the Masach of Malchut of Rosh never purifies, and the Zivug of Haka'ah, the striking through coupling, in Prinat Dalet, there is regarded a Zivug of Lo Pasik, never-ending Zivug, never-ending coupling. Thus, when Malchut of Guf rises there and is incorporated in the Masach of Rosh, she is also incorporated in the Zivug of Rosh. This in turn causes the awakening of the coarseness contained in Reshimot in her, as she receives from the coarseness from below upward, contained there in Masach of Rosh. However, as soon as the Reshimot in her return to their coarseness, it is turned in them to Aviyut, coarseness from above downward, because they come from the 10 Sfirot of Guf that have already been there as clothing from above downward. By that Prinat Guf in the Masach that rose reappeared there, being the coarseness from above downward, which is Guf and not the Rosh. This manifestation is regarded as descent and separation from Malchut of Rosh, because it returned to its original state, to Malchut of Prinat Guf. However, it did not return to Prinat Dalet called Tabu, only to Prinat Gimel called Chazeh, where a new coupling through striking, the Zivug of Aka occurred there, generating 10 Sfirot on a level of Chokhmah in Rosh Toch Sof, called Paltzuf Ab. This matter has already been explained and study it there.
Any questions?
Ma.
What?
He writes there that they're found adhered to one another. What's the difference between adhesion and included, incorporated? It's written that they're adhered and incorporated.
So, dvukim, attached, or adhesion, is externally, and incorporated is more internally.
And that is the unification in the spirituals. What's the difference between the adhesion and the incorporation?
I don't know. Let me see. Dvukut, adhesion, is externally, and unification or incorporation is more internally.
Another question that are included in the Shemot and included in the Masach.
This depends on what it is included or integrated with, either Rishimot that are freed or emanate from the Tabu, from the ascent of the Masach, or, well, that's the most important.
When he writes, included in the Masach, does he mean in Aviut?
The Rishimot are included in the Masach. The Masach collects the Rishimot as it ascends from the Tabur to the Peh. So, let's continue.
Item 2, writing story. The Rishima is a residue from the first Or Akudim that extends from above downward through Yoshel, which is Rachamim. This Rishima is from the first light that came down through Yoshel. The light that comes in Yoshel is Rachamim, and the light that comes on the way back up is Or Chozer, and it is Din, judgment. The Rishimo is through Yosher and is therefore Rachamim. Again, item 2. The Rishima is a residue from the first Or Akudim that extends from above downward through Yosher, which is Rachamim. This Rishimo is from the first light that came down through Yosher. That light that comes in Yoshel is Rachamim, and light that comes on the way back up is Or Chozer, and it is Din. The Rishimol is through Yoshel, and is therefore Rachamim.
Yes.
Item 2, opening me, clarifying, the Rishimol is from the first light. From the first expansion, which expands from Pei to Tabu of Ak, it consists of O Yeshal and O Chuzel clothed in one another. O Yeshal is called pure light, and O Chuzel is called coarse light. The residue that remains from the pure light after its departure is called Reshima, and it is Rachamim, since it is the remains of the Or Yashal that extends from above downward into Prinat Hitlapshut in the Paltzuf. The Or Chozer that has been emptied of Or Yashal after its departure is regarded as the Kilim inside which the Rishimot that remained of the Or Yashal clothed, as the Ri says above. Again. The Rishimo is from the first light. Opening me. From Hitpashut Aleph, the first expansion, which expands from Pei to Tabu of Ak, it consists of Or Yashal and Or Chozer clothed in one another. Or Yashar is called Pure Light, Or Zach, and Or Chozer is called Or Al, Coarse Light. The residue that remains from the Pure Light after its departure is called Rachamim. Sorry, it's called Reshima, and it is Rachamim since it is the remains of the Or Yashar that extends from above downward into Prinat Yitlabshut in the Partzuf. The Or Chozer that has been emptied of Or Yashar after its departure is regarded as the Kelim inside which the Reshimot that remained of the light, of the direct light, clothed, as the Ari says above.
So it turns out that the purification of the Partzufim and everything that occurred was done only in order to bring these Reshimot. Yes?
Item 3. Opening me, clarifying. The light that returns back is Or Chozer, meaning light that comes and extends from the emanator because of the coupling through striking that is performed on the Masach during its levels of Hizdekhut, purification. At that time, the levels gradually diminish until the light disappears entirely and returns to its root above, to Malchut of Rosh. These levels are called Or Chozer Din, since they appear during the departure. Item 3. Writings of Tari. The first expansion of Akudim illuminated to the receivers from above downward, and the levels that extended with their departure illuminated from below upward. It is known that when the Sefirot of Akudim came, their panim were turned downward, because the purpose of their coming was to shine downward. As a result, their panim were through the receivers. However, when they returned upward, they turned their panim upward to the emanator and their achoraim downward. The first expansion, Hitpashut of Akudim, illuminated to the receivers from above downward, and the levels that extended with their departure illuminated from below upward. It is known that when the Sefirot of Akudim came, their panim were turned downward, because the purpose of their coming was to shine downward. As a result, their panim were through the receivers. However, when they returned upward, they turned their panim upward to the emanator, Matzil, and their achoraim downward.
Yes.
Item 4. Opening me. Their panim were turned downward. There is no movement whatsoever here, no posterior and no anterior. As has been explained in previous parts, any chidush tzura, the innovation of form, is called spiritual movement. Know that bestowal of lights or hamshacha in the Kelim is called panim, the anterior or face, and it is known that any given giver, it is known that any giver gives in the coarser, the more av. Thus, the more av the masach, the higher the level of ten sfirot that is imparted there. Therefore, the lights of Fachamim here are regarded as being imparted as itlapshut in the paltzuf, the clothing in the paltzuf, with their panim facing downward. For their panim means bestowal. Downward means greater coarseness. And their panim were turned downward, means that the bestowal is caught in the greater coarseness in the degree.
Yes.
Item 5, clarifying. Their face turned upward to the emanator and their achoraim downward. It has already been explained that Prinat Bestol is called Panim. It is therefore understood that Prinat Histalkut, the departure from bestowal, is called Achuraim, the anterior. It has also been explained that downward means the coarser Prina there. And there Achuraim, downward, means that the lights depart and retire themselves from the coarseness, so that a greater departure will be in the Prina with the greater coarseness.
Well, why do you keep stopping?
The letter ended.
So that's it? We should stop the lesson now? So keep going. Why should I keep pushing you all the time?
Ketel, writings of the Ari, item 4. Ketel illuminated to the Netzalim, the created, the emanated, through its Achoraim as it rose to the emanator. When Ketel rose to the emanator, there is no doubt that the light of the emanator never stops for even a moment from the receiving emanated beings. The only difference is that at that time when Ketel rose upward, that light that descends from the emanator comes down to the Sphira through its Achoraim. After all, he turned his panim upward and his Achoraim to the Netzalim, emanated, and he is Dinim. The other spheres operate similarly as they return and ascend. Again, item 4. Ketel illuminated to the Netzalim through its Achoraim as it rose to the Matzil. When Ketel rose to the Matzil, the emanator, there is no doubt that the light of the Matzil never stops for even a moment from the receiving Netzalim. The only difference is that at that time, when Ketel rose upward, that light that descends from the emanator comes down to the Sphira through its Achoraim. After all, he turned his panim upward and his Achoraim to the Netzalim, the emanated, and he is Dinim. The other Sphirot operate similarly as they return and ascend.
Again,
item 4. Ketel illuminated to the Netzalim, the emanated, through its Achoraim as it rose to the Matzil, the emanator. When Ketel rose to the emanator, there is no doubt that the light of the emanator never stops for even a moment from the receiving emanated. The only difference is that at that time, when Ketel rose upward, that light that descends from the emanated comes down to the Sphira through its Achoraim. After all, he turned his panim upward and his Achoraim to the emanated, and he is Dinim. The other Sphirot operate similarly as they return and ascend.
Yes.
Item 6, Opnimi, clarifying, the light of the emanator never stops for even a moment. This is a great rule in the wisdom. The upper light flows ever abundantly, incessantly, and unchangingly. As it says, I, the Lord, change not. As we have written in length, also during the Histalkut, the departure, meaning during the purification of the Masach, the Histalkut, the departure, was instantaneous and at once. However, because the Histalkut, the purification, necessarily ascends in the order of degrees in the Dalet Prinot of Aviyut, it is necessarily purified to Prina Gimel first, Prina Bet next, then Prina Aleph, and then Prinat Ketel. It is therefore considered that the light of the emanator that does not stop expanding to it and mating with it during its ascent and arriving from Prina to Prina, it generates a new level of 10 Sphirot according to the measure of its coarseness. When it comes to Prina Gimel, it generates the level of Chokhmah. When it comes to Prina Bet, it generates the level of Bina, etc. Finally, it becomes completely purified and the upper light stops due to the absence of all Chozer to clothe it. For there is no manifestation of light without a kli and clothing. Item 5, the writings Duri. The lights of the Panim are Rachamim, and Achoraim are Dinim, called Ol Chozel. It turns out that even during the ascent of the lights upward, they extend the descending light downward, from the emanator to the lower ones, through them and in the middle of them. However, it then extends through their Achoraim, and it is known that Panim is Rachamim, and Achoraim are Dinim. The descending light is now called Or Chozer, since it descends when the Orot Elyonim, the upper lights, return to rise to their Shoresh, their root, and Matzil, their emanator. That is why this light is Din. Again, item 5. The lights of the Panim are Rachamim, and Achoraim are Dinim, called Or Chozer. It turns out that even during the ascent of the lights upward, they extend the descending light downward from the emanator to the lower ones, through them, and in the middle of them. However, it then extends through their Achoraim, and it is known that Panim is Rachamim, and Achoraim are Dinim. The descending light is now called Or Chozer, since it descends when the Orot Elyonim, the upper lights, return to rise to their root and emanator. And that is why this light is Din. Item 7, Opnimi, clarifying from the emanator to the lower ones.
Wait a minute, item 6. Item 6, up above.
Item 6 was part of item 6 of opening me was part of item 4 of the writings of Ari. We read it.
Okay, so let's continue.
Item 7, clarifying from the emanator to the lower ones, through them and in the middle of them. Item 7 in opening me. It means that light descends from the emanator to the lower prinot that were generated in each and every sphira, as the Masach ascends and purifies. Every place where the Masach of Malchut descends becomes the lowest prina. It means that it stops the O Matzil, the light of the emanator, and interrupts its expansion from her downward. Thus, the light of the emanator ends at that place, and the place where the Masach comes is called lowest Prina. The Ari makes this precision to the Tachtonim, through them and by them, to the lower ones, through them and by them, and in the middle of them. It tells us that the Or Nimshach from the emanator only by the lowest prinot and by means of the lowest prinot, meaning through the Masach that raises Or Chozer as it ascends and gradually purifies. When it comes to Prina Gimel, which is Zeranpin, Prina Gimel becomes the lowest Prina that strikes the upper light and detains it from expanding from it downward. Thus, the entire amount of light suitable for acceptance in it had been rejected and pushed back as Or Chozer, and it extends 10 sfirot on the level of Chochmah, and so on likewise. Thus you find that the Amshacha, of light always comes from the lowest prina that's been renewed, where the light that had been received became O Chozel. Item 6, the writings of the Ari. Chochmah receives from one achor of Ketel, Bina from two achoraim, and Malchut from nine achoraim. Item 6. It turns out that when Ketel returns and rises to the emanator, before all the Sfirot, that light that descends from the emanator to the Sfira below Ketel extends and travels through the achoraim of the Ketel, and it is din. It is likewise during the ascent of the other Sfirot, though there is one difference, being that Chochmah does not receive, but only from the achoraim of Ketel. Bina receives from two achoraim, making it more din, and likewise in all of them, until you find that Malchut receives from nine prinot of achoraim, making it more din than all the other sfirot above her. Again, item 6. Chochmah receives from one achor of Ketel, Bina from two achoraim, and Malchut from nine achoraim. Item 6. It turns out that when Ketel returns and rises to the Ma'atzil, the emanator, before all the Sfirot, that light that descends from the emanator to the Sfira below Ketel extends and travels through the Achoraim of the Ketel, and it is din. It is likewise during the ascent of the other Sfirot, though there is one difference, being that Chochmah does not receive, but only from the Achoraim of Ketel. Bina receives from two Achoraim, making it more din, and likewise in all of them, until you find that Malchut receives from nine Prinot of Achoraim, making it more din than all the other Sfirot above her. Item 8 from O Pnimi, clarifying when Ketel returns and rises to the emanator. Meaning, because of the purification of the Masach from Prina Dalet to Prina Gimel, when O Chozel that ascends from Prina Gimel does not come to clothe O Ketel, it therefore returns and climbs to its shoish, its root, as there is no manifestation of light without clothing. This departure of light of Ketel is called the Achoraim of the Ketel. It is because Panim means bestowal, and Ichpatshtut, the expansion, and Achoraim means Histalkut, departure from bestowal. Item 9, clarifying, receiving only from behind the Ketel. Achoraim, the anterior, means Histalkut, the departure. In the first expansion, Itpashtut Aleph, all the Sfirot on the level of Ketel departed. And thus, all the Sfirot received from the Prinat Panim of the Ketel, as during the purification they are equal, on the same level as him. However, during the purification, the light of Ketel remains concealed in the Peh, when it has been purified to Prina Gimel, and the level of Chochmah came out. Thus, now Chochmah receives from the Achoraim of Ketel, meaning suffers and feels the great lack of the concealment of the light of Ketel. It is said that Chochmah receives from the Achoraim of Ketel, meaning Prina Din, because she feels the lack of its illumination, as it is in the rest of the Sfirot. The rule is, item 10, opening me, clarifying, Malchut receives from the previous nine Sfirot. The rule is that all the forces of the upper are always present in its lower, which necessarily receives all the horaim of its upper. When purifying the Prina Gimel, and the level of Chochmah emerges and receives the Prina Din that appears in her from the lack of the illumination of the light of Ketel, the Sfirot below Chochmah receive the same horaim too. It is so because they too receive from the Panim of Ketel in the expansion, the first expansion is Pashut Aleph, as does Chochmah. It is so because all of them were there on the same level that reached Ketel. Now, on the level of Prina Gimel, they all lack the light of Ketel, and only the old Panim of Chochmah. Similarly, when purifying from Prina Gimel to Prina Bet, and the level of Bina comes out, Bina too suffers from the Histalkut of the light of Chochmah. Then she receives two Prinot of Achoraim inside her. These are the Achoraim of Ketel that she has already received when she was on the level of Prina Gimel, and Achoraim of Chochmah that she receives now. Thus, the Sfirot below Bina also suffer from the same Achoraim of Chochmah, in addition to the Achoraim of Ketel that they received during the appearance of the level of Prina Gimel, etc. Similarly, when purifying the Prinat Ketel, where only the level of Malchut emerges, and all the upper nine are missing, Malchut is found to be receiving from nine Achoraim. It is so because when she is on the level of Prina Gimel, she receives Achoraim of Ketel. When she is in Prina Bet, she receives Achoraim of Chochmah. And when she is in Prina Aleph, she receives Achoraim of Bina. Now, when she has but her own light, she receives from Achoraim of Zeranpin too, which are six Sfirot Chagat Nehi. Thus, Malchut received nine Prinot of Achoraim.
So we see here that this is why her coarseness is the hardest, the harshest. Item 20. Oh, inner 20, what is, where are we now?
Right, item 7 of the writings of Ari. There is yet another change, according to the quality of the Sfira. Because Tiferet receives from Achoraim of Gvura, which are hard Achoraim. There is yet another Prina, Tiferet, receives her light from the Achoraim of Sfirat Gvura, which is hard Achoraim, and very strong Vurot. The other Sfirot above are not like that. Again, item 7. There is yet another change, according to the quality of the Sfira, because Tiferet receives from Achoraim of Gvura, which are hard Achoraim. There is yet another Prina, Tiferet, receives her light from the Achoraim of Sfirat Gvura, which is hard Achoraim and very strong Gvurot. The other Sfirot above are not like that. Item 8, writing the story. As the changes in the Prinot of the Sfirot, so the light that extends, feeble din, medium or strong. Item 8. It turns out, as is the difference in the Prinot, so will be the difference in that light that extends, feeble din, medium din, or strong din. However, the equal side there in all of them is that they are all dinim, because they are through Achoraim, as we've said, and a pen has no power to expand and elaborate in all these details regarding this matter. Again, item 8. As the changes in the prinot of the spherot, so the light that extends, feeble, dim, medium, or strong. It turns out that as is the difference in that prina, so will be the difference in that light that extends, feeble din, medium din, or strong din. However, the equal side there in all of them is that they are all dinim, because they are through achoraim. As we've said, and the pen has no power to expand and elaborate in all these details regarding this matter. Item 9, Writings of Ari. Three prinot of orot, of lights. First, hitpashut, aleph, the first expansion of akudim from pe to tabu. Second, the reshimot that remain from this first expansion, which is rachamim. Third, the levels of the ochuzil that extend from the matzil, the emanator, during the istalkut, the departure of the lights, which is din. Item 9. It turns out that there are three prinot of lights here. The first is the first light among all of them, called akudim. It descended and expanded from the pe outwardly and down to the chazeh tabu. The second light is the light of Reshimon, that the first light left of that light itself that came through Yoshel, and it is Rachamim. The third light is Ochuzel, and it is light that extends from the Ma'atzil, the emanator, to the Sfirah, and extends when the lights ascended and returned upward from below. This light is din, since it is drawn from. This light is din, since it's drawn through Achoraim. Again, item 9. Three prinot of lights. The first expansion of Akudim from Pe to Tabu. Second, the Reshimot that remain from this first expansion, which is Achamim. Third, the levels of the Ochuzel that extend from the emanator during the departure of the lights, which is Din. Item 9. It turns out that there are three prinot of lights here. The first is the first light among all of them, called Akudim. It descended and expanded from the pe outwardly and down to the chazeh tabu. The second light is the light of Reshimol, that the first light left of that light itself that came through Yoshel, and it is Rachamim. The third light is Ochuzel, and it is the light that extends from the emanator to the Sfira, and extends when the lights ascended and returned upward from below. This light is din, since it is drawn through Achoraim. Item 20, Opnimi, clarifying from the pe outwardly and down to the tabu, meaning the first expansion, when the coupling through striking on Prinat Dalet emerged called pe, which is Prinat Malchut of Rosh. After that, this Malchut expanded into 10 Sfirot from her and within her down to her Malchut. These 10 Sfirot are called Guf, and Malchut of Guf is called Tabu, and the 10 Sfirot of this Rosh and Guf were at the level of Ketel. Item 30. Clarifying. The Reshimo, that the first light left of that light itself. See the Ari's words above, who wrote that two lights remained after the departure of the first expansion. That is, the light, first, the light that remains of the Or Yashar. Second, Or Av, the coarse light, meaning Or Chuzel that has been emptied of the Or Chuzel. meaning the Ochozil that has been emptied of the Oyashal it clothed during the first expansion, remained below and its coarseness manifested. This coarse light is the Kilim, and the pure light that remained from the Oyashal is called Reshima. This Reshima remained clothed within the coarse light.
This is clear, right?
No?
What? What is unclear?
I didn't understand.
Oyashal, Ochozel, pure light, coarse light, what is not clear? What?
It's confusing because he's calling everything light, light, light.
Don't call it light. Call whatever else. How does he call them? You know why is it coarse light compared to pure light?
Coarse light is the Reshimot. Or that's the Ochozel. That's why it's confusing.
You're already.
Continue?
Yeah, continue, but we can't study like that if you have such complaints. But tell me, is this black? Is there anything black here? Black here, there, black there? It's confusing, isn't it? So.
No.
Well.
Ot mem.
Item 40. Item 40, clarifying. The time that the lights rose and returned from below upward. Ascended implies purification from the coarseness in order to come to equivalence of form with its upper, namely the emanator. Returned implies histalkut of the light, the departure of the light after its expansion, regarded as returning to its root, its shoresh. It is said, light that extends from the emanator to the sphira and extends when the lights ascended and returned upward. It refers to the upper light extended by the coupling through striking during the purification of the Masach and is coming into the degrees on the path of its purification. At that time, the levels gradually diminish until it is completely purified and equalizes in form with the emanator, meaning Malchut Ofosh. This issue is always called the ascent of the lights to the emanator. And remember that.
Okay? Oh, this is okay. Next.
They asked to repeat it.
So repeat it then.
Item 40 clarifying when the lights ascended and returned upward. Ascended implies purification from the coarseness in order to come to the equivalence of form with its ilion, the upper, namely the emanator, ma'atzil. Returned implies departure of the light after its expansion, regarded as returning to its shoresh, the root. It is said, light that extends from the emanator to the sphira and extends when the lights ascended and returned upward. It refers to the upper light extended by the coupling through striking during the purification of the Masach and its coming into the degrees on the path of its purification. At that time, the levels gradually diminish until it completely purified and equalizes in form with the Matzil, the emanator, meaning Malchut Ofosh. This issue is always called the ascent of the lights to the emanator. And remember that. Item 10, Writings Furry. A fourth light is born out of the bitush of the Oreshimot and Ochozel on one another, called Nitzotzot, the sparks. There is indeed a fourth light born of the aforementioned lights. The third light, called Ochozel, extends and descends downward to shine in the Sphira, and it hits the second light, called Reshimot, which remains below. However, they differ in their nature. For one is Ol Yashal and Rachamim, while the other is Ol Chozer and Din. Hence, they strike and beat on each other, especially since the light of the Rishimon wishes and yearns to ascend to its source, which is the first light. Although it does not actually ascend, the Rishimon remains forever below. It nonetheless wishes and yearns to ascend. However, the Ol Chozer descends downward, and as they are of opposite nature, they beat on each other. And for there is no beating and striking, but when the lights are diverse in nature, then, through their beating on each other, they beget sparks of light as Ol Chozer, being Din, which is worse than the light of Rishimon, which is Rachamim. These sparks are the fourth light we have mentioned.
No.
Ot Yud. Well.
Item 10 again. Item 10, writings of Ari. The fourth light is born out of the beating of the lights of Rishimot and Ol Chozer on one another, called Nitzotzot, sparks. There is indeed a fourth light born of the aforementioned lights. The third light, called Ol Chozer, extends and descends downward to shine in the Sphira and hits the second light, called Rishimon, which remains below. However, they differ in their nature, for one is Ol Yashal and Rachamim, while the other is Ol Chozer and Din. Hence, they strike and beat on each other, especially since the light of the Rishimon wishes and yearns to ascend to its source, which is the first light. Although it does not actually ascend, as the Rishimon remains forever below, it nonetheless wishes and yearns to ascend. However, the Ol Chozer descends downward, and as they are of opposite nature, they beat on each other. For there is no beating and striking, but when the lights are diverse in nature, then, through their beating on each other, they beget sparks of light as Ol Chozer being Din, which is worse than the lights of Rishimon, which is Rachamim. These sparks are the fourth light we have mentioned.
Well, let's leave that for tomorrow.
Ine mato manai shevet afim gam ya. Ine mato manai shevet afim gam ya. Ine mato shevet afim gam ya.